This is Movies for the Blind, Episode 97, The Scar, Part 3.
It's a bitter little world full of sad surprises, and you don't go around letting people hurt you.
Hello and welcome to Movies for the Blind, where you can enjoy films without looking at a screen. I'm Valerie Hunter. We're heading into the conclusion of The Scar, and one of its main themes is an issue that people who do description have to deal with all the time. The difference between what sighted people can see and what they do see. In other words, what people notice or pay attention to. Johnny counted on no one at the casino noticing the gang as they robbed the cashier. And now he's counting on no one noticing that the scar he created to assume Dr. Bartok's identity is actually on the wrong side of his face. When we write, describers not performing live have the luxury of stopping a video or watching repeatedly to check details, and that's important for details making sense in a story. But an average viewer watching something once in real time doesn't have that luxury, and different people notice different things. It's hard to reconcile sometimes. What I try to do is stay faithful to what I may see the first time, and especially what a filmmaker wants to show. Case in point, Dr. Bartok's scar itself. You may recall a few references made to Dr. Bartok doing things before Johnny murdered him. So, had I noticed what side the scar was on? Honestly, no. And going back, I can confirm that the filmmakers showed Bartok often in long and medium shots, or with barely fleeting glances of his cheeks. The only true close-up was when the filmmakers wanted to make their point, the moment Johnny lifted Bartok's body and got a good look at it. Although he had to have looked to take that photo of him, which got flipped over by the developers, so Johnny hadn't been paying that much attention either. So let's find out if he can keep gambling on people's inability to really see in the conclusion of The Scar. Later.
I had specifically told them there.
In a session.
What I wanted for breakfast. And I made a fuss. I suppose that was small of me.
The patient rubs his eyes.
Couldn't help that. I wanted things to go well.
Johnny sits smoking on a couch nearby.
The first vacation I'd taken in years. You know, I've worked hard all my life. Never spared myself. Well, I don't want any credit for that. I was reading Thackeray. I prefer the classics, books that have withstood the test of time. I must say, I have no patience with contemporary light reading.
Johnny watches the patient thoughtfully.
I asked my wife. No. I think I. Yes. What I did.
In another session.
And then they went out for a week. My daughters and my son.
He stands smoking.
And there I was, left in the house all by myself. Was that fair, doctor?
He looks down at the patient, who sits not looking at him.
It isn't that I make demands. The last thing I want to be is a burden to them. I never asked them to wait on me hand and foot the way some mothers do. But after all, I've devoted my whole life to them. Surely the least they could do is to show me a little affection, a little consideration.
Later, a review of bank statements for Dr. Bartok shows his balance going from more than $36,000 February 1st to just over $700 on the 26th. With a tray of coffee and picked over food on the corner of his desk, Johnny goes through other files. One contains documents of stocks and bonds which have been sold. He answers the phone.
Hello? Hello?
Looking around, he puts down the phone he'd picked up and answers another one.
Hello?
Putting down that phone, he stands and walks across the darkened main office to another room and finds another phone to answer.
Hello?
Victor, darling.
Oh, hello.
You said you'd call me up.
I was just going to the phone.
Is anything wrong?
No, fine.
Well, aren't you coming? It's late.
He sits.
Darling, I...
I can't understand it. You told Maxwell we'd be there by 9. You made a special point.
But I'm on my way.
Oh.
Oh, wait.
What?
Where are you?
Where do you think? Home.
No, that isn't what I mean, darling. Listen, could you do something for me? Could you meet me at the Wellington?
The Hotel Wellington?
Yes, in the arcade. I'll have to make a call there. It'll save time.
Well, are you going to be very long?
No, I'll meet you in half an hour. Oh, darling.
Yes?
I want you to stop in at the florist's there and get yourself an orchid.
An orchid?
Yes, I want you to have it. Tell them to charge it to my account.
All right. I'll meet you at the Wellington.
Good. And don't forget the orchid.
Johnny looks at the phone and hangs up. Checking his watch, he stands. Later, in the lobby of the Wellington, Johnny sits with a newspaper, looking for a woman with an orchid. When he sees one coming, he folds up his newspaper. He stands, but she walks right past him. He sits down to wait again and watches a couple older women wearing orchids walking by with their escorts. A very young woman walks past with an orchid on her formal dress. A worker approaches.
What's going on?
Weddings, weddings.
As he hurries off, a woman behind Johnny covers his eyes.
Yes.
Darling.
Removing her hands, he turns to an elegant woman wearing an orchid.
You see? I got your orchid.
Yes, I noticed.
He stands.
They're probably wondering right now what happened to us. Better hurry.
Wait.
What is it, Victor?
Nothing. I was wondering. Do we really have to go to Maxwell's tonight?
Do we? You know those boys. If we don't show up, they'll think we're running out of them or something.
Yes, they would, wouldn't they?
She touches up her makeup in a compact.
Listen, who's going to be there tonight?
Do you mean who's going to be there? Usual crowd.
Yes, of course. Oh, darling, would you like to drive my car to Maxwell's?
What?
I thought you might enjoy it.
Enjoy it? I'd love it. You know I've been wanting to drive that car for weeks.
Well, all you had to do was say so.
She checks her hair.
You're looking very well this evening, Victor.
Am I?
Mm-hmm. Very handsome.
Thank you, dear. Shall we go?
She takes his arm, and they do. Later at Maxwell's...
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening, Dr. Bartow.
In the foyer, a butler accepts Johnny's hat and coat. Then Johnny slips off his companion's fur wrap and gives it to her. They cross the foyer into the next room, where Johnny pauses, finding a casino with chandeliers hanging from high ceilings.
Place your bets, ladies and gentlemen.
As a ball settles in a roulette wheel, Johnny watches, unsettled.
23, red.
What's the matter?
Nothing. I was just going to say I've been cashing a lot of bonds lately, haven't I?
Hello, Doctor.
Hello.
You always take a chance in the gamble.
Good evening, Dr. Bartow.
Good evening.
You're coming around to Maxwell's quite often these days. 2 or 3 times a week, aren't I?
I guess you're right.
Take care now. Don't let them rob you.
Good evening, Miss Taylor.
Hello. Victor?
Come along.
He escorts Miss Taylor toward the roulette table.
Three red.
What, same tonight, Dr. Bartow?
The same, Frank.
I'll put it on your account. It's Harry.
I'm sorry, Harry.
Hi, Virginia.
Hello, Marjorie.
Johnny smiles.
Sit down, Virginia.
Thank you.
Virginia sits.
Make a play. Put him down.
Another day, Evelyn types from dictation, then turns when Johnny comes out of his office with a patient.
You know, it's very strange. I didn't think of it until just now.
You didn't think of what, Mrs. Newson?
Your methods. I don't know what it was, but they weren't quite the same today, were they?
We vary our procedures from time to time, Mrs. Nielsen. We like to see what results we get.
She opens the door.
Well, I must say that things went much smoother today, though, didn't they?
Yes, I think so, Mrs. Nielsen. Thank you.
Goodbye, Doctor.
Goodbye, Mrs. Nielsen.
She leaves, and Johnny closes the door. Smoking, he glances at Evelyn. He picks up another cigarette and lights it with the one he was smoking. then goes back into his office as Evelyn watches. She thinks. Later, she enters his office.
I tell them to send up a tray around 7. You're really putting in long hours, aren't you?
Yes.
I guess I'll run along. Good night.
Evelyn.
Yes?
Come here.
He lights a cigarette with a lighter.
What is it?
Look at me.
What?
You've been watching me all day, haven't you?
Have I?
Is there anything peculiar about me?
No, of course not.
Then why do you watch me? What are you worried about?
I don't know.
Something troubling you?
No.
He raises his eyebrows.
Yes.
Well, tell me.
You've been so strange.
Really?
You've been avoiding me.
Do you blame me?
What do you mean?
What do you think I am, Evelyn? Don't I know?
Know what?
You've been seeing somebody.
Oh, come now.
All right, I don't mind. I was just curious. Well, isn't it true?
No, it's not.
She turns away.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Touching his scar, he switches on a lamp.
Then, why do you turn away? Does this embarrass you?
I don't know what you want. It's late.
What do you do? Give you a bad time?
I don't want to stay here and quarrel. I don't feel like it.
What happened? Did he hurt you?
She spins around.
Do I look hurt?
I should say you do.
Well, don't fool yourself. You don't get hurt these days.
No?
No, it's very simple. You never expect anything, so you're never disappointed.
You're a bitter little lady.
It's a bitter little world full of sad surprises, and you don't go around letting people hurt you. I'll tell you something. In all my life, I think I've only had one beau I was really willing to trust.
Should have held on to him, married him.
I wanted to, but I couldn't. He was 12 years old, and I was 9.
Johnny gets up from his chair and turns away.
Are you sorry for yourself?
No, because for one thing, it's too late, and what's the use? Because you never can go back and start again. Because the older you grow, the worse everything turns out. You don't see it happening to you, it just happens. You wake up one morning, and there you are, and anything goes, and that's all right, too. Now, does that upset you, Dr. Bartok?
He looks at her.
Doesn't bother me at all.
Anytime you say, I can quit.
I would never let you go, Evelyn.
That's nice.
She heads out.
I would miss you badly. You don't know how much I would miss you.
Later, at the Michael John Company...
We're not in business to worry about people or their whereabouts. They couldn't afford it.
Maybe he knew people here. Had friends. If I could talk to them, I've got to find them. I don't know of any other place I can start from.
Sitting across from Freddie, the man who'd first hired Johnny picks up a phone.
Bartlett Anderson. You know anything about a man named Muller? John Muller? The guy we fired a couple of months ago thereabouts? Hmm? Mm-hmm. No. He doesn't know anything about... What? Oh, just a minute. Reference.
Anderson writes a note.
Okay. All right, Bartlett. Thanks.
He hangs up.
You might try this place, the garage. Clover Garage.
Standing with the note, Freddie walks out. Later.
You'll have a long wait. The patient just went in.
That's all right.
I'm afraid we never noticed the different hikers. To tell the truth, I don't know what made you think of coming here.
Well, they told me at the garage the last call he went on was with Dr. Bartog.
I suppose it was.
He was gone for 4 hours that night.
I heard about it. They fired him.
Yes. Something may have happened, I don't know. It just might be the doctor remembers him. You see, my brother was interested in psychoanalysis, went to medical school. Dr. Bartog might be able to give me some kind of lead. Nothing else to go on.
Why don't you wait? Sit down.
Thank you.
Johnny enters.
There he is. That's my brother.
Evelyn turns to Johnny as he closes the office door behind him. Glancing at Evelyn, he looks at his brother blankly.
I'm sorry. The resemblance. For a minute, I thought...
What can I do for you?
I came here... I'm trying to locate my brother. He worked for a garage you use.
His name was John Muller.
Both Johnny and Freddie look at her.
Do you know him? Do you know where he is?
Miss Hahn?
He went to Europe. To Paris.
She hurries off.
That's all I know. Leave me alone.
Wait.
Stay here. I'll be right back.
He leaves Freddie to follow Evelyn into the side room. closing the door. He crosses the room and blocks her from running away.
Don't lose your nerve. Hold on to yourself.
I should have known it from the start.
So you know, so what? Don't you think I expected you to find out sooner or later?
Worry you?
No.
Why? What's the matter? Do you trust me?
Sure, I trust you. You're a fool. What can you do? Go to the police? You've got more sense than that. What good will it do you or anybody else?
What good will it do me if I don't?
Letty, the two of us together.
She gets past him, but he grabs her.
See it? I'm Bartok. Who's going to know? Who'll ever find out?
You killed
him. I had to. I was in a jam. I had killers on me. It was the only way out. I took it. I had to take it.
You don't have to explain to me. I'm not shocked. I'm not supposed to be.
Listen.
I didn't give you away, did I? I lied. What more do you want?
Wait. Let me get rid of him. I've got a patient in the office. Wait for me.
He crosses the room to the door, which he opens. Freddy stands. Calmly, Johnny enters and closes the door behind him. Then takes out a cigarette.
Well?
Can I see her again? Can I talk to her?
She told you everything she knows.
You don't understand.
No, I don't.
My brother's in trouble. He's hiding out. He thinks there are killers after him, a man named Stancic. But they're not.
What?
Nobody's looking for him.
What do you mean?
I work for the government. I know people. They tip me off. They got this man Stancic. Income tax charges. They're deporting him in another month or so. They've already broken up his crowd.
Johnny steps away, considering.
My brother's safe, in the clear, and he doesn't know it. There's no telling what he might do.
Johnny lights the cigarette.
You don't know him. He's smart, got big ideas, willing to take any kind of chance. I've got to stop him before it's too late.
Johnny turns to him.
Don't worry about him.
What?
Take care of yourself. People like him don't need your help.
I don't...
I know them. I've started their cases by the dozens. Whether we like it or not, the fact is they're the ones who know what they want, and they always get it.
I've studied their cases, too, where I work in the welfare department.
Well, perhaps you are right. It doesn't matter. I'm afraid there's nothing else we can do for you here. Miss Hahn doesn't know his address or anything like that.
Freddy moves to say something, but stops and lowers his head.
I see. I'm sorry for the trouble I've caused you.
Not at all.
Freddy starts to go.
Goodbye.
He watches his brother leave, then puts out the cigarette and returns to his patient.
Forgive me, I've kept you waiting, Mrs. Nielsen.
That's all right, Doctor.
I'm terribly sorry, but I'm afraid we have to cancel this appointment. I had a call, an emergency.
Oh, well, I understand.
He helps her up.
I'll see you tomorrow, Doctor.
Yes, tomorrow, Mrs. Nielsen.
Goodbye, Doctor.
Goodbye.
As she leaves, he crosses the office to another door and returns to the side room, finding Evelyn gone.
Evelyn!
He strides into the reception area, then keeps searching.
Evelyn!
He goes through the office again to the private phone for Virginia and answers.
Hello? I'm rushed for time, Virginia. What is it? No, I can't go to Maxwell's tonight. What? I'll explain later. I can't talk now. No, no, nothing is wrong. Of course I'm not going anyplace. What put that idea into your head? Call me later. Call me tomorrow. Goodbye.
He hangs up, but leaves his hand on the phone for a moment before stepping away. He keeps walking back through the office and out. Later that night, Johnny paces across from Evelyn's apartment building. He smokes anxiously in the shadows. He stops when a taxi pulls up to the curb in front of the building. Evelyn pays the driver, then goes up the front steps. When she goes inside, Johnny starts to cross the street, pausing to let another car go by. He continues on as the taxi pulls away. Glancing around, he goes up the steps and soon enters her apartment.
What happened to you?
Sitting up from crying on the couch, she looks at him.
What are you doing?
He notices a piece of paper on the table and snatches it.
Honolulu, you're sailing tonight.
He throws it down.
What kind of a deal did you make?
It's always a deal.
Who did you talk to?
Nobody.
Did you tell me to the police?
You don't have to worry.
He sits with her.
What are you running away for?
How do you think I feel?
Give it time. It passes. You'll get over it.
You get over it.
You stand.
Sure. Use your head.
I took all the chances. I worked it out. Now is the time to cash in, both of us.
I don't want it.
I mean that.
It's not worth it.
Oh, be smart.
I'm sick of being smart, waiting for time to pass, waiting to get over it.
Don't talk like a kid.
I booked passage on the first boat going out because I want to get away as fast and as far as I can.
Why?
Because I'm sick of being wise.
What are you trying to give me?
I'm tired of knowing all the answers.
Where did you get off pulling this talk on me? Where did you learn it? You take care of yourself and that's all.
A dollar's a dollar.
Yes.
Watch out for number one. Always play it for yourself.
That's right. Do they worry for you? Did they worry for Bartok? Did anyone bother to notice the difference?
I hate it.
Hate it or don't hate it. Who is asking you? This is the way it is and you know it. You've been around long enough.
I hate everything I know. I hate everything in me. I hate you. I hate, I hate, I hate.
I didn't make it that way. I can't change it. What do you want me to do?
He backhands her to the floor. Holding her cheek, she rolls onto her side, frowning, favoring his hand. He looks down at her and steps closer. He kneels. Gently, he lifts her up and holds her tight.
I'm going with you.
Yeah.
He keeps holding her.
We'll go together tonight.
You don't think I believe that, do you?
Give me time. Let me fix it at the office. I don't want them to go looking for Bartok for me.
You're Bartok. You've got it all now. You're not going anywhere.
I'll meet you on the boat.
You say it, but you won't. You've got a good thing now. It's rich. You'll never let it go. Not you. You've got too much sense.
I'll be there.
Letting her go, he gets up, and she remains on the floor, watching him leave.
You won't.
Later.
That's right, Doctor. I've talked to the building superintendent. He'll give the keys to your secretary.
On the phone.
Yes, you'll find the names and addresses of my patients in the desk. I'm sure you'll be able to handle them all between you, Dr. Henning, and Dr. Crayman. Yes, sir. I'm afraid it was sudden. I wasn't at all prepared. Well, thank you very much for making it possible. Thank you, Doctor. Goodbye.
He hangs up in the office, then stands and shuts off the lamp. Gathering a couple cases, he walks out. Soon after, he reaches the lobby, where a washerwoman is on her knees scrubbing the floor.
Dr. Bart.
He stops.
Excuse me, please, Doctor. I hope you don't mind it if I talk to you.
What do you want?
The scar. It's so clear in my mind. I always somehow thought it was on the other side.
Smiling warmly, Johnny sets down his cases, then bends down to the woman and raises her to stand.
Did you notice that?
What? I know I'm mistaken. The scar, I mean. Of course I'm wrong.
He touches her cheek.
Yes. Good night.
Picking up his cases again.
Good night, Doctor.
He walks off. Outside, he gives his cases to a driver, looks back, and gets into a taxi. Nearby, someone lurks in the dark. As the taxi pulls away, two men get into their car. They follow. In the taxi, Johnny checks his watch.
Driver, I'm in a hurry. Step on it, will you?
Okay.
They speed around a corner. As Johnny lights a cigarette, the men keep following the taxi. Johnny smokes, unaware of the headlights not far behind him. Soon after, the taxi stops outside the Pier 22 terminal, where the ship waits to depart. Johnny and the driver get out, and while the driver runs around to get his cases,
hey,
Johnny stops a worker.
Where can I get a porter? They're all busy. Ship's sailing in a few minutes now. Here.
Paying the driver, Johnny picks up his cases and walks into the terminal. Porters and passengers hurry through the terminal, and Johnny makes his way among them. The two two men, the stocky driver and his thin partner, make their way as well. On the dock, crowds say their goodbyes or board the ship, where Evelyn approaches the railing, looking around. She scans the dock intently. Amid the bustle of the terminal, the men catch up to Johnny and force him away into a dark, empty room.
What is this?
Where are you going?
What do you want?
What do you think?
Where are you from?
You know where. Maxwell's.
Maxwell's?
You owe us a lot of money.
What?
$90,000.
What are you talking about?
You didn't think we were going to let you run out on us just like that. Did you, Dr. Bartow?
Johnny starts smiling.
Wait a minute. You got the wrong guy. I'm not Bartok.
You're not?
I know Bartok. I look like him, sure, but my name is Muller. Look, you fools, the scar. His is on the left side.
What'll it do? Move over?
Now, wait a minute. Let me go. I can square this thing. I'll send you the money.
I'll bet you will.
The thin man pulls a gun.
Let me go. I've got to make that boat.
You're not getting on that boat, Dr. Bartok.
Let me go!
He pushes through them and runs. The bustle continues in the terminal. A few people gather.
We thought we heard some shots.
You did. Cops just caught him, ran right into him.
Did anybody get hurt?
I don't know.
As they head for the room, and the ship starts to move with Evelyn searching, Johnny stands against some boxes, grimacing. He pushes himself forward and limps back into the terminal and through the oblivious crowds. He staggers toward the dock with a sweaty face and his hair in disarray, but otherwise not unusual. When someone bumps into him and keeps going, Johnny holds his side and collapses. As people on the dock wave goodbye to the passengers, Evelyn stares out with her eyes full of tears. She turns away. Johnny struggles to lift himself back up and looks to the ship's railing. But Evelyn's not among the passengers waving. He searches for her, but collapses again as the ship pulls further away into the night. On the dock, a man stumbles over something, glances down, and continues on his way, leaving Johnny lying on the ground as the crowds of people remain focused on themselves. The end. This described version of The Scar was produced for Movies for the Blind. Cast of characters: John Muller, Dr. Bartok, Paul Henreid; Evelyn Hahn, Joan Bennett; Frederick Muller, Edward Franz; Virginia Taylor, Leslie Brooks; Swangren the Dentist, John Quaylen; Marcy, Charles Arndt. And that was The Scar. And while Johnny had that one moment of victory with the washerwoman, people's lack of attention to detail became his undoing. So, while Evelyn sails away to Hawaii, our next movie also involves someone taking to the seas to escape heartache. But it's a whole other story when the person escaping is British comedy legend Arthur Askey.
I want to go on a submarine or a minesweeper or someplace where men are men and women are just pictures cut out of magazine. The bleakest collection of desolate rocks in the whole of the United Kingdom.
Tell me, Mr. McIntyre, what would be the population of the other island?
You?
Arthur? What, Mr. Colvin? You're talking to yourself.
Was this bed made when you came up here before, Arthur?
I don't think so, Mr. Pilbeam.
It's made now.
Would you mind telling me what you're doing here?
I'm drinking my tea.
What are you after?
Don't worry, I'm not after you. You're not my type.
Has the ship stopped?
You're no mermaid.
I've been torpedoed.
You've been what?
I've been torpedoed.
Well, I didn't do it. And I came here to get away from women.
That's Backroom Boy, next time on Movies for the Blind. For more information and links about the movies, about description, and how to subscribe, check the blog, moviesfortheblind.com, where you can also find out about this podcast's Creative Commons license. The MP3s are currently being hosted by Blind File Sharing, with easy, affordable, and accessible file storage and transfer with visually impaired users in mind. To find out more, visit blindfilesharing.com. The movies are from the Internet Archive, so please support universal access to human knowledge by visiting and donating at www.archive.org. Thank you for downloading and for listening. Be back next week. Take care.